Welcome back, everybody. It's time for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming to you live from the campus of West Virginia University, this is a syndicated show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice. With the man with the golden voice and the magic touch, Matthew Cummings. Hey, Matthew.
I wish. Is that on my business card?
Well, that's it. That's why I read it right off of there.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate that, Paul. It's good to be back hosting another episode of Marketing Communications Today from West Virginia University. We have another good one on tap this afternoon. Brands in Motion, How to Evolve Using a Value and Data-Driven Approach. Over the next 20 minutes, you'll learn how to cultivate a unique brand identity in this modern landscape. Our guest today, Dan Hill, CEO of Hill Impact, will share valuable tips to modernize branding strategies using data-driven insights without losing sight of organizational values and heart. Dan has been trusted by world leaders, CEOs, and celebrities to build, defend, and, yes, even sometimes repair brands. He's a leading expert on brand positioning and reputation and has appeared in the New York Times, USA Today, Los Angeles Times, and Washington Post, as well as shows such as NBC's Today, PBS's NewsHour, and NPR's All Things Considered. And now, Dan, you can add WVU Marketing Communications Today to your bio as well, right? Dan is also a contributor to Newsweek and The Daily Beast. With more than 25 years advising public and private sector leaders across the world, Dan is known as a true fixer, routinely navigating complex systems and challenges to deliver positive outcomes against seemingly impossible odds. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, Dan.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm going to put the WVU at the top since I'm a big fan of the Mountaineers.
All right. Sounds good. It's a good season to be following the Mountaineers for sure. Hey, I want to start by kind of level setting here and asking, you know, how you define brand. I know this is a pretty elementary question, right? But even for those of us who have been in the industry for a while, I think there's different ways to define the concept of brand. So what is brand and what isn't a brand? Let's define that up front.
Sure. Well, to me, a brand is your relationship with your most direct stakeholders. And I call it a relationship because it's not just how you present yourself to customers or to your stakeholders, but it's how they see you. And to me, that gets lost as reputation sometimes. But to me, reputation is a broader issue, but brand is really the relationship that an entity has with its core stakeholder.
That's a good definition. Speaking of that relationship, what is Brands in Motion? That was the title of our podcast today, and it's a concept that you've developed. So what is Brands in Motion?
In my years of working with different brands, one of the things I've seen time and time again, and I've even participated in, and you probably have too, are these great branding exercises that take months, sometimes years, to get everything perfect, because this is a brand that's going to last for the next 20 years or next 10 years. And it becomes this shiny object on a hill that we have to dust off every now and then and protect, and there's no fluidity to it. And to me, a brand in motion is really going back to that relationship concept. If you think about marriages, for example, how many times have you heard a couple who's going through hard times, maybe 10 years into their relationship, say, the man I married isn't the same today, or the woman I used to travel with and who liked to go out and eat wants to stay home? Well, people change, organizations change, and what a brand in motion is a brand that from the very beginning sets itself to be fluid and be able to adjust to times and really make that relationship one that has give and take.
That's interesting. Speaking of that, how did you come up with this concept? How is it different than that conventional view on brands that you described earlier?
I kind of backed into it. I backed into it through my crisis work, actually. So much of my career has been helping organizations that are in the middle of a very high profile issue. And in doing so, some of the brand development things that happened at the front end of the process are what created an issue to begin with. And so we have to go back and fix those. And it just kept coming over, you know, 20 years over and over. I was thinking, if this brand were more nimble, if this brand had paid more attention to its relationships, we wouldn't be facing this crisis. And so over time in doing crisis work, the biggest thing I want to do is help organizations avoid a crisis. And I think it starts actually with how you brand yourself.
So how does Brands in Motion then manifest itself in the work that you're doing with clients or even for you personally?
Well, I mean, for me and for my firm and how I position myself, I think the problem with the concept, if there is one, is if people think that it doesn't have to be tethered in any kind of core values. And I think that's really, if there is anything that's foundational, it has to be around value. That's how you drive a culture. That's how you get buy-in. For me, it's just making sure that the values are consistent and that we have that built-in ability to listen to our stakeholders, our customers, our clients, and adjust as we go. And it manifests itself in our crisis prevention work because we get very into the weeds about who you are, what your identity is, what your relationship is with your main stakeholders. And when most people are looking at policies and procedures and crisis response plans, we're getting into the, you know, the real details about who you are.
We have some time here before the break, and I want to go back to two things that you mentioned. You mentioned finding the brand value and also listening. Can you give us some practical advice on how best to do that?
Well, let's take social media, for example. Mm-hmm. So many people in our profession are all about this as a tactic to transmit, but too little are we talking about it as a tool for listening. And if you think about a big manufacturing company and what the kinds of things they may be, let's say an automaker, communicating through social, think about all the things they can be hearing. They can detect a problem with a particular car, you know, perhaps months before it becomes public, or they may be able to hear about an issue with their workforce. Maybe they're organizing to go on strike. And so it's making sure that every tool you have that's meant to be transmitting information is also a tool to be receiving information. In fact, it should even be more so. Just like any relationship, listening and being sure that you actually hear what the other party's saying is fundamental to making it work.
That's a good point. What about values? You know, brands are always saying we need to find out what we stand for and what our values are. So that's a great advice for listening and listening to your customers. But how do you get buy-in for the brand values and identify exactly what those are?
Well, I think you have to convince people. Are you talking about buy-in from the internally, like with employees, or are you talking about buy-in with the customer?
I guess both are important, right?
I think it does start internally. And I think, unfortunately, some of the exercises that we go through to develop these have been almost become caricatures, and they're considered light and fluffy because what the history is that people go through these mission and value type exercises, and then they don't live by them. The first thing you have to do is convince people that this is actually a meaningful activity that the organization is going to stand behind and empower, have some kind of way to empower the people in the organization to really embrace it and to live it and to make it a part of their workplace culture and to hold each other accountable to that. If you don't have that, if you don't have the internal, you're never going to convince external stakeholders that it's real.
So start inside first and then work inside out.
And to me, with the external, yes, you're right. And to the external stakeholders, you don't typically talk. I prefer an organization brand that shows its values through its actions as opposed to telling you what they are. And so internally, you may be talking very specifically. We're a learning organization. We're an organization that believes in continuous improvement, whatever those things may be. Your actions are going to be what shows that value to your stakeholders.
Sure. Now, back to this concept of a brand in motion. And speaking of that motion, what happens when brands overreach or creep on their mission or values?
That's a great question. That's where we're seeing a lot of the crises that we end up working on, is that it's enticing out there. Sometimes in this very fast-paced world, you might see an opportunity and reach beyond what you were chartered to do if you're a nonprofit, or what you developed your company to do. Mm-hmm. And by reaching, you can totally upset the entire, it's like riding a bicycle and seeing something and deciding to reach for it. And then all of a sudden you've had a massive, you've got all kinds of scrapes up your life. What is that called? When you have a road rash. Yeah, road rash.
Right, right, sure.
The same thing happens to brands when they reach outside of that. It's just making sure that opportunities get run through a system to make sure they fit with where you are. It doesn't mean that you don't adjust to go pursue that, but you got to make sure the foundation is ready for it. And that takes time.
Yeah, building that strong foundation. How does, and you mentioned this earlier, that you arrived at this concept through your work, really, through crises. How does motion then make a brand less vulnerable to a major crisis or guide responses maybe when one happens?
One of the things I've learned, I developed this thing called the crisis score a while back. It's been really 10 years of work to get to where it is. And I can take a look at any crisis in an organization and give you an assessment of how big of a problem it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's about 30 different factors that go into that. And one of the things that I noticed was when people have a certain expectation for a brand, it creates an anomaly. And so what we've been told in strategic communications and PR for so many years is that there's this halo effect, that mm-hmm. if you're a great brand and people love you, then you can absorb a crisis. Well, I started running simulations through the score and noticed something. That's not always true. And I'll give you the example. General Motors had a crisis with its ignition switch. Mm-hmm. Toyota had a crisis over its acceleration. Toyota at the time was the number one brand in safety, reliability, customer satisfaction, and approaching number one in sales in the U.S.
Wow.
GM was very far from that. They were at the bottom of the list in terms of customer satisfaction, safety, every other metric. So you would think that the Toyota could have absorbed that crisis and GM would have suffered dramatically, but it was quite the opposite. GM's sales actually went up during that crisis. Toyota's plummeted, their stock plummeted, and it took them a long time to recover. And the real interesting thing is that the GM crisis was far more damaging in terms of loss of life and actual impact than the Toyota one. And so what it got me thinking is that as a brand, when you set this expectation, that you have to have some way to have a conversation about how you absorb these things, how you learn from them. And so a brand in motion is one that is continually learning. It's constantly looking for best practices. It's willing to admit when it does something or falls short. And it mm-hmm. has a process in place to fix those things in real time without having to go through massive rebranding. I can't stand, and I hate saying this, they used to be a client years ago, but the Wells Fargo rebrand of saying that they're a new entity as of this date.
Yeah, reestablished in 2018, right?
Yeah, that's not a brand in motion. No brand in motion should have to go through a massive rebrand because they are keeping up, they're adjusting, they're nimble, and they're doing these things more real time.
Yeah, so never let a good crisis go to waste, right? We're going to take a quick break now, so hold that thought, if you will. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about how data plays into brands in motion, and also how to become a brand leader rather than a brand manager. We'll be right back.
And you know, if you're not a data geek, if you're not a speaker of data here, there is a way to solve that. West Virginia University has an online data marketing communications program. It's first of its kind. It's a graduate program, and it's all online. focuses on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making. The Data Marketing Communications program prepares you for your career by learning the basic innovative tactics like those we talk about each and every show here from award-winning faculty and experts in the field like today's guests. You can learn more about this interesting, innovative Data Marketing Communications program at dmc.wvu.edu. A lot of letters that simply suggest Data Marketing Communications at West Virginia University, dmc.wvu.edu. All right, back for some more insights and innovative thinking here from our guests, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Dan, right before the break, I had responded to you and saying, never let a good crisis go to waste, right? And you had a follow-up there, and I apologize for cutting you off, and we had to go to the break. So what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that, yeah, a crisis defines a brand, whether it's an individual or an organization, and it can define it. It can even define it positively. And mm-hmm. I think we live in a pretty forgiving world. People expect there to be mistakes, and it's how you own those. And I think a brand in motion is able to see that and doesn't set itself up for the fall by over-promising and not being able to meet those expectations.
Again, it comes back to that relationship, right? I mean, I'm saying that all the time to my son. It's how you respond that's really important. I want to pivot a little bit and head over to data. And talk about data and what type of data should communicators and leadership be using to make decisions for brands that are in motion.
So I think one of the criticisms I've had about communicators more than marketers in the PR profession is that they are too far away from the bottom line. They don't understand the P&L. They don't understand what really moves a CEO and investors. And it's really the data that matters to the company in terms of its performance, its margins. If we're talking in the corporate space, that's the kind of data that I think communicators and people who work in marketing communications need to be looking for. Metrics that actually speak to leadership. I've never met a CEO who cared about the number of followers on Twitter or the number of impressions that they got. What they care about is the bottom line. And it's tying yourself to those bigger objectives and finding ways to provide value inside the company that are demonstrative. That's really the metrics that, and then it's the listening part. So much of the data comes from various stakeholders. It can, we focus so much on media monitoring and social monitoring, but what about analysts, and what about think tanks, and what about political stakeholders? And it's just making sure that you have a more well-rounded view. And the most important stakeholder that we're not collecting data on are our internal ones, employees. They have the most to say, the most insight, and yet they're most often ignored.
You know, I want to stay on this topic for a bit. I think it's one that's really important, especially when working with students in our program, is connecting the dots between what that CEO cares about in terms of margins, P&L, and the value of the brand. Do you have any advice for those of us that struggle to make that connection and say, you know, the investments in our brand and what we're doing here and keeping this brand in motion do contribute to that bottom line?
I think first it's knowing the vocabulary and understanding what really matters to them. And I would encourage students to listen to, today you can listen into analyst calls, quarterly earnings calls that companies have with investors, and just hearing what matters to the investor community and what they're communicating helps you connect those dots. That's really the space that you need to be operating in if you want to be considered a valuable part of the team. One of the things I've said over the years to students is that if you look at the list of Fortune 500 companies, how many of the CEOs come from a PR background? And to date, I haven't found one. But you can find lawyers.
There's no hope for me, is what you're saying, right?
I mean, but I think that can change if our young communicators can understand the importance of getting much closer to the corporate objectives and understanding what makes the company work and not work.
Right.
And that just intuitively will make them start understanding how to communicate better internally and what to tie their metrics to.
Mm. You know, when you and I were talking about today's episode, I remember you said that you really dislike the phrase brand management. Why is that?
It's the same reason I don't like crisis management, is because it's about leadership. And the skill set you need to manage something is very different than the skill set you need to lead. And I think in both of those instances, whether it's a crisis or what you're doing with your brand, you need to be on your front foot. You need to be making decisions. You need to be decisive. You need to convey confidence. I love collaboration. I love mm-hmm. those kinds of, but there's a time for you to say, this is who we are, and say it with confidence and not, and maybe the development was collaborative, but once you get there, it's really having that kind of leadership posture that builds confidence with all stakeholders, including the external ones. So there are things you have to do as a leader that require management. But to me, if you really want to have an effective brand, you got to think through the lens of a leader.
So managing is keeping the lid on it, but leading is really putting it in motion.
That's what I believe.
Who do you feel, Dan, is doing this well today? What are good examples of brands that are in motion?
I mean, Netflix is an interesting mm-hmm. one. I mean, this is a company that has been disruptive multiple times. They seem to have a really good relationship with their customers and with their most important stakeholders. They listen. Their performance is one that's been really talked about by the investment community and finance world. And so whether it's going to be a long-term success or not still remains to be seen, but they really do stay on top of things. They reinvent themselves, but it's seamless. I don't think of the Netflix that I watch that has original content as the mm-hmm. same Netflix that totally put Blockbuster out of business, but it all connects and it all makes sense. And they haven't had to go through massive rebrandings. CVS is another kind of interesting brand, and some of the things they're doing from an innovation standpoint and really how they're trying to adjust themselves to be more community oriented. And some of the decisions they've made, like taking cigarettes off the shelf, I think have shown kind of that brand in motion, willing to take a risk, but to only double down on who they are.
That's that leadership rather than the management really at work. I want to end here just asking for some parting advice. What would you leave our listeners with? Maybe those who are in a brand management role now and really want to get that brand in motion and shift more toward brand leadership. What parting advice do you have?
Some of it I've said, but getting back to what really the organizational fundamental objectives are and tying your day-to-day work to measurable and demonstrative sales mm-hmm. or fundraising or performance. And then also just making sure that you're not chasing whatever the most interesting or creative things are without taking into account what the true underlying purpose are. And I think we get excited about new platforms and new outlets and new ways mm-hmm. to communicate, but we get too excited about using the tactic and we don't ever bring it back to the strategy. And that would be my kind of parting advice.
That's great advice. Good insights here, Dan. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And I want to thank you for listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today from all of us here at the IMC and DMC program at West Virginia University. I hope you found today's episode as informative as I have. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you live from West Virginia University, a bi-weekly program that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice, only on the Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.